Welcome to Limitless, the Blind Beginnings podcast where we discuss tips, tricks, and current topics related to all things in the blind and partially sighted community. Now, it is my pleasure to introduce the founder of Blind Beginnings and your host, Sean Marcellet, and whatever co-host is on this week. Now, here's your host, Sean.
I'm Sean Marcellet, and this is Limitless, the Blind Beginnings podcast. And we have a really exciting episode today. We're going to be talking all about Harry Potter. And the reason we're talking about Harry Potter is because Blind Beginnings is offering a Harry Potter book club this summer. And our guests today are Clement and Keisha, who are two of our youth mentors, who are actually going to read the entire Harry Potter book one over the course of the summer, which is going to be so fun. And my co-host today is Ginny. And Ginny is co-hosting because she actually has not read Harry Potter. And we thought, I think Ginny kind of wants to know what all the fuss is about. So welcome, Ginny.
Hi. Yeah, I want to know all about Harry Potter. Sell it to me.
Well, first of all,
you can do that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, also welcome Clement and Keisha.
Hi.
Thanks for being here, guys.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us here.
Yeah. So, Ginny, tell us, how much of Harry Potter have you read?
Well, so I started Harry Potter when I was in high school, and it was the first book, and I got up to about the part where everyone's at Hogwarts and the sorting hat has sorted Harry into Gryffindor. I have not gotten really beyond that point. Okay. And then I later read, we were supposed to read the first book again in our university children's literature class, but because they wanted to talk about it, but I didn't read the book. I just participated in the discussions and just kind of rolled with it.
I see. So you really didn't get very far.
No.
Okay, just for sake of comparison, Clement, how many times have you read Harry Potter?
Oh boy. Well, I do a Harry Potter marathon on my own. I reread the whole series once a year. And when that is depends on kind of the year, but I will always aim to do that at least once.
Okay, and roughly how many years have you been doing this routine?
So I haven't done it since I read the Harry Potter, the original. The first time, but I would say probably at least the last 3 years I've been doing it every year.
So if you took a guess on how many times you've read the series, what would that be?
Oh boy. The whole series, probably over 10 times. The first book, probably over 20.
Ooh, interesting. And what about you, Keisha?
I have read the series all the way through a grand total of 3 times.
Okay.
And so this would be the 4th official time that I've read the first book.
Interesting. And I've only read the whole series once. So it's funny because
But you did read the whole series.
Oh, yes. I've read the whole series. No, I loved it. But when we talk about when this topic comes up at Blind Beginnings events, people are talking about details that I don't really remember that. And it's amazing to me just how much you guys know about.
You mean some things like how one of the freaks named Clement can name the whole can name all the chapters in the first book?
In yeah. order?
Yeah.
In
order? Something like that.
I don't know who I'm talking about, by the way. I don't.
So let's talk a little bit about, you know, Ginny, why you didn't get sucked in, or how do you feel about what you read?
I don't really know, honestly. It feels like there are so many other books kind of similar to Harry Potter. Like,
what? You
know, yeah.
No,
I know.
No.
Let me finish.
Okay, you can finish.
Yes, we can banter. yeah, like, so I, you know, like there's, you know, children having experiences, things like that. And just, I feel like it's just a trend, like it's a trendy thing to do. I don't know, like Harry Potter is just this trend you're supposed to be, you know, kind of sucked into, and I just can't. Maybe if I was introduced to it when I was younger, I could have, because when I was younger, I loved fantasy. I love Narnia. I loved like Hobbit. I loved things like that. But now that I'm older, I do not like fantasy and that sort of thing at all. So
okay, I have to cut you off because I didn't read Harry Potter until I was in my 20s. So I don't know if age, and I loved it. And I actually was not a fan of fantasy or any kind of, I think actually when I started it, I thought it was science fiction. Like anything that is not real to life in my mind is science fiction. I realized
magical science. Not true.
But I actually liked it because I could relate it to real life. Like it was out there and different, but it was still like comparable. You know, you could sort of see the reference to like what it would be like in real life. I don't know. But what do you guys think?
Can I speak? Yeah.
Tisha. Yeah.
You know, I can totally hear what you're saying, Jenny. Like I was fortunate enough to read it when I was really young. And also, you know, I didn't have like a big internet presence back then or anything. So, you know, nowadays, if you're reading it at this age and if you have a huge internet presence or even a minimal internet presence, everybody knows about, like, even if you haven't read it, there's spoilers everywhere about Harry Potter. So like a lot of that magic that you initially get.
Ah, that was funny.
Is gone.
Good job.
Yeah.
Well done, Keisha.
Magic.
I don't know about that because I think Harry Potter is still one of the most popular series around. And it's really interesting because I love it because it's cross-generational. Mm-hmm. Everybody of multiple generations has read it, and you'll find fans from people who are still teens, maybe younger, to people who are in their 40s. Like, it's not something that...
Even older.
Yeah.
My grandma's in her 80s. She loves the series.
Yeah, and, like, I think for me, what really hits home is what Sean said. And, like, I see why some people might not... Like, I have friends who love fantasy but who don't like Harry Potter because they say, well, it's too simple, you know? And what? I think simplicity is kind of one of the beauties of Harry Potter. Is that it's not hard to get into because it's supposed to be, you know, it's supposed to be a children's novel, theoretically. So you can pick it apart as much as you like. And, you know, so some people who don't like it will pick it apart too much for more than what it is. And they'll say, well, this is not right. This is not good. And this, but then a lot of people who like it will say, yeah, but the fact that you don't have to dissect it is part of what makes it so good. You can enjoy it without having to keep track of 100 different characters or countries or worlds or
that's true
how things work.
It's just straight and narrow.
And it is very relatable. I agree with that. And you know, when you read it, you can see that, you know, there's certain character types, you know, like archetypes that kind of factor in, you know, what modern society is like. You know, you have a typical rich family. You have a family who isn't so rich but is very you know, emotionally invested in each other. You have a family with an abused child. You have, you know, a school with teachers and good teachers, good students, bad students. And you know, so everything I feel for me, when I look at Harry Potter, I can kind of go, hey, I can relate to that, or the hey, that really resonates with me.
I think, you know, we all have been through high school and just the fact that it happens in a school and the whole, like, some classes are bored. I don't know. There were just so many comparable things.
Yeah. I've always said like the time of life when you're a teenager is probably like the most important time in your life. And the fact that this happens literally from the time you're 11 till the time you're 17, I think is huge.
And I can really relate to having a ghost as my professor in history.
What?
Yeah. Yes.
I'm just kidding. Sorry, guys. No, but in all seriousness, I totally agree with you. And the really beautiful thing also about the series is that it starts out, you know, so like an 11-year-old could easily read it and it's totally relevant. But and then as you go on, like the seventh one, I don't think you could relate as well when you're 11. Like it gets darker, it gets deeper, the concepts get more twisted. And it grows up. Like, the series grows up.
Yes, I was just gonna say that.
So glad.
Fans think alike, man. I'm telling you.
Did you read it as you were the age that Harry was each book?
Goodness, no.
Okay. Like, who has the patience to wait a year to read the next book, right?
I wonder if anybody has.
So it was interesting. So the way I got introduced to it was during the first year was grade 4. So I was 9. And it was actually back when we used to have read aloud times in school. We read through the first book over probably, maybe 2 or 3 months or something. Like, we would read it it'd be read aloud once a week. And it was cool because it was cool and it was just, I was kind of in that age range where I was 2 years away from how old Harry was. And so I could still kind of relate to it. But then at the same time, there were things that were a little adult for me to get at the time, like having no parents. Or like having, being bullied at home or being bullied at school. But as I grew up, I did kind of start to catch up a bit more in terms of reading the series in order, as it was happening. And so there were things that I could definitely... I didn't read the series entirely year by year, because obviously they came out at different times. So it was a mixed bag for me, but it was I definitely read it close enough to the age I was that it was very, very relatable, and it paralleled a lot of things that happened, I would say.
So just curious, because you read the whole series and you were like at a young age, did you like, because the book, when I remember reading it, it kind of starts off, a little bit slowly. So did you get sucked in like right away, or did it take you a book, or how was that? Because I want to kind of know that perspective.
What do you think, Keisha?
Okay. Well, I want you to go first because my story is really long and actually it's really important. It's really special to me, and I can talk for ages. So
I think we could both talk for ages. I think we should just talk for the rest of the podcast.
That is the plan, but
I think the two of us should just have a conversation.
Then I'll go first. Fine.
Yeah, go ahead.
So for me, I read the first Harry Potter book, I read the series the first time when I was in the third grade, so I was 8, and how it happened was, I remember, I have a sister that I really look up to, and I remember when she was in her early teens, she was reading Harry Potter, and I was like, oh my goodness, I have to read Harry Potter because she read Harry Potter, and so I was really like not into reading at the time, which is crazy to me because that's like pretty much all I do sometimes now. I didn't like reading. I had a hard time with it. Braille was fairly new. But I was starting to like get into reading, and I was reading a little chapter books here and there. And then in the summer after grade 2, my mom ordered the first Harry Potter book for me in Braille. And it came in one of those, I don't know if you guys remember those handy dandy bags that came zipped with the volumes in it.
Yep. Yes, I remember those.
And I remember it came because I was staying with my grandma for the summer.
How many bags did it come in?
Well, it was like 7 volumes, I think. So I think it came in like 2, I think it was like 3 or 2 bags, but I was like, I remember them coming to my grandma's house because that's where I was at the time for some summer holiday time. And I was so excited. And I think honestly, just the idea of Harry Potter was enough to suck me in. So I started reading it, and I do remember loving it right from the start because I've always been a fan of fantasy and like adventure and like kind of things mystical. And so and I still am to this day. And so I was sucked in, but I would say a big part of it might have just been the simply the idea of Harry Potter and others who had read it. Yeah. And so it took me, so that's kind of, to answer your question, Ginny, that's kind of where it all started for me. And then of course, now that I look back, like, I was so young, like, I was even younger than Clement, so I was, you know, it was fantastic. I loved every minute of it. And there's actually a funny thing, because when I got to the seventh book, there's one swear word in it, and I was like, oh my gosh, I read a swear word.
Yeah, I remember that. I know which word you're talking about. And anyway, I remember that.
And
too.
I was anyway. Like, so I was like nine. I just turned nine. I was like, wow, I'm so old. But anyway. Anyway, so, you know, a lot of the concepts were not within my reach, but when I did read the whole series again when I was like in sixth grade, and I was like, wow, a lot of this makes more sense. And every time I read it, there's stuff that I missed that make more sense as I get older.
No, it's true.
Yeah. And now Clement, you should talk, because I can talk forever.
Yes. So could I. We'll just keep talking for forever. How's that? Yeah, like, for me, I got into it, I would say, at the beginning, right from the beginning as well. Like, the first few paragraphs are kind of like, oh, this is pretty normal. I thought this was supposed to be magic. But it's really interesting. So, minor spoiler warning, you know, although I'm sure everybody here has read the first book at least. Right when the first conversation between two wizards happen, I won't say who, but I think people can figure that out. Right from that first conversation, when things start to get serious, I went, oh my goodness, this is gonna be so good. And like, from that point, it was pretty much just like Keisha. Like, I fell in love with it. I couldn't, like, reading aloud was like my favorite time of the week for that whole time.
No,
because
doubt.
I wanted to know, because all of, and this is something I just realized as I read the book this last time, is that most of the Harry Potter chapters end on a cliffhanger. And you have to keep reading until the next one to figure out what's going to happen next.
Right.
And which is really cool to me, because it's so well crafted like that. It just makes you want to keep going if you get sucked into it, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I don't think I got sucked in until he went to Hogwarts. Like, that chapter six. Well, I don't normally know that. It was a good chapter where going through platform 9 3/4 and getting on the Hogwarts Express and all of that. That's when I was like, okay, now we're meeting some characters. This is exciting.
I will say that chapter six, when we read it in our connections group, that was like the most I've been, I was sucked in. Like, I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
Shout out to the narrators.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So just for like, you know, filling our listeners in, Clement and Keisha read chapter six for our Creating Connections group last Friday, just to kind of whet people's appetites for this upcoming Harry Potter book club. And we had something like 17 people attending that were listening in, and the kids were so excited, and Clement and Keisha did such a great job.
I don't know. I don't know if Sean got any feedback after he read that.
I haven't, but okay. I mean, I could
maybe
tell.
Maybe no news is good news.
I think a lot of people wanted to sign up for the book club though by the end of that night.
Yeah.
So that's fair.
And if Ginny, we converted Ginny a bit, it sounds like. So
yeah.
That's a success.
And I need to make a confession. I have downstairs in my little room with all the stuff, I have like maybe two boxes or three boxes full of all the seven series in Braille unopened. They're just sitting there. They are just sitting there.
Oh my goodness. Now you have now you have a motive.
Yep, gotta get those box covers.
But on the same token, you know, if it's not your thing, it's not your thing, and that's totally okay too.
Yeah, and there's some people who love them, some people who love it, some people who don't, and I think either way is fine.
Yeah.
You just happen to have the two people on the podcast who can't get enough of it.
Yeah. I think though, I would love to know after you read all of the first book if you feel differently. So you didn't go very far, and maybe you'll feel differently once you've been through the whole book.
Yeah.
Keisha, you said something today about how Harry Potter has shaped a generation in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
What, talk about that.
Yeah, I will. First, I want to say, just in case it wasn't clear enough the first time, Harry Potter was the gateway to me being a huge bookworm. And
yeah, in a lot of ways, me too, I'd say.
Yeah, and for a lot of kids, it has been. Like, I've talked to others in similar positions. And actually, that sort of does sort of lead into this shaping of a generation, because like Ginny was kind of alluding to, like, Harry Potter has shaped a lot of the ways that some fantasy authors approach their writing, and Harry Potter has influences from like J.R.R. Tolkien, you know. I see it, you know, Dumbledore, Gandalf, like there's certain things that, and like that would have been something that J.K. Rowling probably, like, she would have been reading those kind of fantasy in her time. And we still read like Lord of the Rings to this day.
Yeah. That's another favorite. Shout out to Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. But yeah, and so, but shaping of a generation, like, you know, there are so many little lessons that you learn throughout Harry Potter, or that you just pick up, and especially when you're at such a young age reading it, and you're at that malleable point in your life where, you know, these kind of things really do affect you. Like, you know, like the whole, like, for me, one of the big messages that always kind of stuck in the back of my mind was, I won't go too deep into it for those who haven't read it, but there's a lot of talk about how, like, I know this is cheesy, but like how love like prevails and like, you know, like protects you from the dark things. And I don't care. I'm a little bit a hippie like that. A little bit. I totally, or whatever you want to call it. Like I'm a very positive minded person sometimes. And and I don't know. I just think, and a lot of people, like, Harry Potter talks about embracing, you know, differences between people, and just like, I don't know, it just, it allows you to wonder and to explore and to be curious and to, you know, it's just such a different and incredible way to look at things. And it's written in such an easy, accessible way. Even if you're not like the best reader in the world, it can be accessible. Like, I'm not gonna lie, sometimes, like, I actually have not read the entire Lord of the Rings series, simply for the reason that sometimes I get caught up in the long, lengthy language.
Yes, me too.
But that's amazing.
And that's good. I'm glad that you think
so. I gotta say that.
Ginny, have you read Lord of the Rings?
I read like The Hobbit, Lord of the Rings, and then I watched we watched the movies after in our class, and I loved it.
There you go.
Yeah.
See, I'm not into that. Yeah. But that's a whole other podcast. Yeah.
I loved Lord of the Rings, and
we have a nice range in this group right now of Lord of the Rings lovers, which we should definitely get into at a different time.
That could be another episode.
Yeah.
They seriously, the first half an hour of the first movie of Lord of the Rings, nothing happened. And I stick to that. They just
It's establishing background, Sean.
It was very snorry.
It's called world building.
Yeah, world building.
No. But
Clement, I want you to talk a bit too about how you see this shaping a generation. Because everywhere you go, lot of people know about Harry Potter.
The name Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
Is possibly, like, I think one of the most famous literary names around right now.
Mm-hmm.
I highly doubt that you will meet someone who is currently with the times, and if you say Harry Potter, I bet you they will have at least read one book or at least watch at least one movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's everywhere. We were supposed to have a Harry Potter themed pop-up thing this year until, you know, the pandemic happened. But like, and you know, every places do Harry Potter trivia nights at least a couple times a year.
Oh yeah.
You know, pubs and whatnot. Oh. And that's super cool.
Been to one of those.
And you know, like other and sure, other places might get trivia nights too, like Lord of the Rings and Narnia and other book series that, you know, Wheel of Time and stuff like that. But Harry Potter trivia nights, everybody knows about. And I think it's because Harry Potter, unlike any other series, is something that a lot of us grew up with. Mm-hmm. And like Keisha said earlier, it's a series that kind of grew up with us as we grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and you can see how much has grown because the first book had not a single curse word in it. And by the seventh book, there is that one line, and Keisha knows exactly which one I'm talking about.
Oh man, people are gonna have to read through to book seven just to get this one line.
Now I want
to
know.
No, it is just
we're
that one line.
This is a G-rated podcast. We cannot
we're
say
not gonna
what.
Say it because it's G-rated, and also we want Ooh. You to feel suspense.
Yes. The word that must not be named.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Very good, Sean. Very good.
so funny.
But you know, and it is. It is something that is, you know, like Keisha said, it's so easy to get into that, you know, for anybody who is at the age where Harry Potter is appropriate, that's what parents will throw at them because it's so easy to read. Everybody knows about it. If they can read it, immediately they can talk about it with their friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Okay.
It's so almost anyway. Like a rite of passage in some friend
groups. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
In
I would say
groups.
So.
Well, yeah. Like, not all. And, of course, it's not a rite of passage across the board because no. not everybody's read it, and that would be exclusionary. No. But it is in some, like, I don't know. It just feels that way, you know?
Yeah.
It has.
No,
that
I agree. Like, there's some people who, like, if you say you haven't watched a Harry Potter movie or read one of the books, they'll be like,
Yeah.
What kind of childhood did you have? Like, you know. it's like, you know, not watching Disney as a child.
I have not watched Disney as a child.
Well, and that's okay. Like, everybody's got different upbringings and stuff, too. And
it's fantasy.
I'm so excited to have you on here with us, Jenny, because your perspective is invaluable. Yeah.
I love having a different perspective, too. And so, and one more thing, I wanted to echo what Keisha said about little life lessons that you can literally get everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
About how, It, you know, as cheesy as it does sound, love and self-sacrifice and good, like just general being good will always win out at the end. It might take a long time, you know, like, you know, the whole timeline from when Harry Potter's parents die from the time it finally gets resolved, it takes 17 years, but it happens.
Me to spoil it for everyone,
you know.
I'm totally kidding.
But I'm not going to say how it gets resolved, but it does get resolved. you know, it is kind of that one, and you know, I think it's very true. And you know, the one thing that it teaches you too is that you don't have to be the best at everything to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's something that certainly my generation, and I think, you know, the generation after mine has also grown up with, is the idea that you don't have to be perfect at everything. Because, and that's one thing I love about Harry Potter as well. No character is perfect in Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
From the main character all the way to like the wise grandfatherly sage guy, everybody has some sort of shady thing in their past that no one likes to talk about.
Yep. That's kind of cool too.
Or they have emotional problems. You know, and they lose their temper very easily, or you know, they get jealous too easily, or something that, you know, not every character is written to be flawless, mm-hmm. which I find is a problem with a lot of books that have kind of succeeded Harry Potter, that have followed it, is that a lot of the times the protagonist is always kind of blameless, is never wrong, you know, is always trying to do their best, but, you know, they just happen to have bad luck. Whereas Harry, like, sometimes you kind of look at him and go, why would you do that? You should know better, you know.
Let's talk characters. So
I was going to say,
yeah, who do you identify with the most? Who's your favorite character? Both of you.
Oh, that's so hard.
It's very hard.
Honestly, for me, it changed. Like I'm like, I feel like a mashup of many characters. Just depending on the day.
literally depending on my day or my mood.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes I'm a little Snapey. Sometimes I'm a little Hermione-ish.
Mm. Well, I have my Snapey moments. I love my Snapey moments.
I mean, I definitely like, you know, as many do, and we do discover, like Clement says, he has his flaws too, but I really like loved Dumbledore for many yes. reasons throughout the series. And I mean, yeah, he's got his flaws too, but who doesn't? That's the kind of the beautiful thing, right? Like that's like, it allows us as readers to not feel strange about our imperfections. Mm-hmm. And so I always like really loved him. I loved Hagrid. I could really like,
oh yeah,
I have like family members who sometimes kind of like have Hagrid vibes, and I'm like, you guys are so great. And and I don't know, like I always like strove to be like a bit like Hermione. Like she's so, I don't want to spend my whole time being academic, but she's so smart, but she's also like, she's so practical, and she's always got like, you know, she's always pretty much prepared, you know, whether it's, she's got like street smarts and academic smarts, and I just, oh, she's so great.
What about you, Clement?
I definitely feel like I'm a mishmash too of a lot of different people. I would say the one person I always come back to is Ron.
Oh, interesting.
A lot of people have said I'm like Harry. I don't think so. I see myself more of like Ron, because Ron is a guy who I feel is definitely not perfect. You know, he's seen as a funny guy. You know, he's a bit of a dork sometimes, which I definitely am, except with me it's most of the time, not sometimes. And for me, I love the fact that Ron is... There's a lot of characteristics that I relate to with Ron, like the fact that he's loyal. He may not always do the things that people expect, or when he tries, he might not always get it right, but he'll try again and again and again and again and again and again. And you see that in the whole series, which I find really cool. You know, he's kind of the epitome of like the character who tries to be good at everything, but can't quite manage it.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a hard time dealing with that. And I find a lot of most of my days are like that too, where I'll try something and I'll kind of mess up and I'll go, oh, why is this happening to me? You know, but then I'll find, you know, somewhere, even either out of just pure stubbornness, like Ron, you know, or because someone says something that encourages me, you know, it'll give me strength to try again. And, you know, and Ron doesn't take himself too seriously either. You know, which I'm okay with, which, you know, is kind of like me. I don't, you know, I can't be serious all the time. So, you know, I'd say I empathize with, I relate to Ron, and I think Ron suits me as a parallel, simply because of that I'm not perfect, but I will always try kind of attitude.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So, yeah, and I kind of see myself sometimes a little bit, yeah, a little like Hagrid. Like I have a pretty thick skin, but I have moments, you know, when I get sentimental and stuff like that. But and like Hagrid, I'm very caring about the people I care about, but I also have a temper, which I don't always control very well. So, you know.
How about,
you know, and I've been complimented on my Hagrid impersonation, so that's...
Oh, let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Let's hear it.
Yeah.
Harry, you're a wizard. And a fine good one, I'd wager, once you've been trained up a bit. Anyway, we're going to... we'll save that.
Fantastic.
Okay,
now that
so
I would read.
There is all these sorting apps and tests and quizzes and things to find out what house you're in. Have you guys done those? And do you know what house you would belong to? So apparently I'm Slytherin, which I was very unhappy about. But what about you, Keisha?
So this is a fun story. So I know like everybody's like, oh, like not everybody, but like originally because of the books, a lot of people were like, I want to be Gryffindor. Mm-hmm. Now actually the cool thing now is to be Slytherin, but,
Cool. Awesome.
I want to be different and like edgy. I'm going to be Slytherin. But, it's from the time I read the books until all the way till now, I've always felt like I probably am a Gryffindor. And then I did do the Pottermore quiz. I did that a long, long, long time ago and I got Hufflepuff. And then I did it a couple years ago, not like more recently, and I got Gryffindor. So I guess I'm a Gryffindor. I don't know. I just feel in my heart that I'm Gryffindor, and I feel like I would be like Harry. I'd be like, Gryffindor, come on, like not Slytherin.
Right. Totally.
Yeah, but not like Slytherin's got lots of great qualities too, as long as
apparently we are ambitious. That's what somebody told me.
Well, you are ambitious, which could be a good or a bad thing. Yes.
What ambitious, about you, Clement?
Clever, yes. Determined.
Yes, that's thank mine. You.
Anyway, Clement, what's yours?
So if Keisha is a Gryffindor, I am a Hufflepuff. because I've always considered myself a Hufflepuff, primarily again because I'm not particularly academically oriented. I'm not particularly ambitious either. But I do have a tendency to be daring and do things before I think about them sometimes. And I would say, again, going back to that Ron thing, I'm not perfect at what I do, but I do give it as much effort as I can. And I am fair with other people. So I would say I'm mostly a Hufflepuff, but with just a smidgen of Gryffindor, hence why I'm a Hufflepuff.
Okay, and Ginny, what are you? Because you've done the sorting too, right?
Mm-hmm. So I only did the sorting. I don't really understand what the houses were, and I still kind of don't understand what each one kind of relates to. But I had a friend who was like, you know, you really got to do the quiz. Like, then you'll know what house you're in. She's really trying to convince me. So I did the quiz. And I got Hufflepuff, but then another friend was like, you really got Hufflepuff? I really see you, like, you know, as Ravenclaw. So I eventually did the quiz again, and then I got Ravenclaw. So I think I'm a Hufflepuff.
A Hufflepuff.
Yeah.
Nice. Or a Ravenpuff.
Ravenpuff.
That sounds like a type of cereal.
It really does. Puffs in the morning, eh?
Start my day with a Raven Puff, and I'm doing great. I was ready to go. And it went down.
Do you have any other questions, Jenny?
Okay. So maybe this is a spoiler, but what is a Patronus?
No, we're not going to talk about that.
No.
Why?
We cannot talk about that.
Guys, someone wants me to figure out what my Patronus
is. It's quite a spoiler.
It is quite a spoiler.
If you want to talk to us off air, just...
Yeah, we can talk about it privately after this.
All right, I'll message one of you. Yeah. I need to know what my Patronus is.
Okay.
And apparently my wand...
There's probably a quiz for that, too.
And my wand, too.
On the Pottermore site.
Oh, yeah. Everything's on Pottermore.
Hmm.
But we want to keep you guys hanging, anyone who hasn't read it, because we want to really draw this experience.
So we're not going to talk about Patronuses and wands just yet.
Let's talk about the Blind Beginnings Harry Potter book club then.
Yeah!
So this is starting in July, and you guys are going to read the entire book. That's a big undertaking.
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be a good time.
We had so much fun reading the first chapter, the sixth chapter.
It was awesome. Clement was doing, well, they were both, actually both of you were doing accents or trying to.
I apologize to anybody who is British who may have been listening at the time who we just don't know about.
It was super entertaining.
They're awful.
No, it was really good.
It was great.
Really good. So kids can tune in every Monday afternoon through the summer. And we're starting with chapter one, obviously. We're going to read probably two chapters every week. And we should be able to finish book one by the end of August. And then at the end of each reading, each week, we'll have some discussion and break into age group, Zoom room, whatever you call them, breakout session.
Breakouts.
Yes. And so people can sort of talk about what was read. But the kids are super excited too. And some of them are asking if they can help read. And
the adults are excited too.
Be certain characters. Oh, I'm super excited. I'm
kids at heart.
Yep. I've been waiting for my son to be old enough to read Harry Potter, and he's six and he's not quite ready yet. So in fact, we started listening to the first chapter in book one, and it says the word stupid in chapter one. And he told me that they said a bad word, and so we had to turn it off. So I don't think he's ready. He's definitely not ready.
Just wait till he's that one word in the seventh book.
Exactly. So I'm going to read it again with you guys instead, but that's okay. It'll be great.
Just one thing about that one line. I love that line.
What's the line?
I don't even know the line.
I'm not going to say it because
we can't. I'm just making suspense.
Yes, you're creating more suspense. But
yes, I love,
and Keisha might agree with me with this one, is when you read it for the first time, it is so shocking.
Yes, it is. Because the person who says it.
And especially because the person who says it is someone who you would never expect to say it.
Oh, okay.
I think she might know now. But I love, and again, like I love that you can see the Harry Potter series grow up.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
still that's gonna be like the one thing I come back to again and again and again and again, is that it will always come down to that. Mm-hmm. You can see how much it progresses through the series. And it's not just more character development, it's not just, you know, more deep writing, it's growing up. It's maturing as it kind of gets along. It ages really well. So when that line came up and I heard it, I was like, she just said that.
She did not.
She did
it's
not.
It's a she.
Yes,
the
she. There you go.
Yes, it is a she. That is the only hint I will give.
We're getting closer, guys.
That is the only hint I will give. Okay, anyway. Just the one thought.
Okay. Does anybody have anything else they want to say? Last words of their love for Harry Potter and the series?
Yeah, I was going to say, I really want to know about Ginny Weasley, because everyone keeps saying, you know, you got to read the book because there's someone named Ginny in it. And, you know, they're already saying that I'm Ginny Weasley. And I want to know who this Ginny Weasley is.
And so you will find out.
Tell me a bit more.
You will find out on not on Monday. You'll find out at the in the beginning of August,
probably. Right? Because Ginny.
No, end of July. End of July.
Well, and you figured out a little bit during our teaser.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, she's. I thought so. She's just a kid, right?
Yeah, but she gets more prevalent in the second book.
Yeah,
she does grow up.
She does, as everyone does.
Yes.
I am curious though. Favorite character, not necessarily one you represent. Or see an analog of, but like just favorite.
Obviously, Voldemort. Oh, I mean,
really?
No, stop saying the name.
I don't like him.
He's not my favorite, but
Dumbledore is my favorite. But I think I also can relate to him a little bit, also. But
I think Fox the Phoenix is pretty awesome. I don't know. I can't choose. There's so many amazing characters. Hey? Lupin. I was like, why are you not my uncle?
That's true. Or Sirius. I could have said that about Sirius too.
Same. I was like, Sirius, get over here and be part of my family.
I want you to be my uncle. But speaking of uncles, my favorite character, it's not one character. The entire Weasley family.
Oh, okay.
Has always been, I love their family dynamic.
I thought you were gonna say Uncle Vernon and Ebony.
No. Yeah,
he's totally my favorite because I'm mean like him.
So what about least favorite character? Because one that stands out for me is Umbridge. I really don't like her.
I think all three of us could. I think all three of us could resonate with that.
I have a friend who loves Umbridge. So
really,
yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Weasley family just has this whole. They are the epitome of that family that doesn't have a lot.
But they have lots of love.
They exactly. And they like, you know, how many parents do you know who would, you know, cry for their best, you know, their son's best friend, you know, like who just basically adopt Harry from the beginning. Anyway, you know, I could go on and on, but you know, I love the fact that they have it is the love. Like Keisha is right. Like they do have a lot of love for each, not just each other, but everybody they know. But they don't have a lot because their foil in the story, with no spoilers, is another family who is very rich, but is also very arrogant. So to me, that's another life lesson. Mm-hmm. But I can go on about that. But least favorite character? That's really hard. I don't think I really have a least favorite. I mean, I guess Umbridge, but
Umbridge. I also really like Lucius Malfoy is a piece of
work. He's a piece of work.
He's a piece of work.
I guess if I had to say my least favorite character, oh no, you know what? It would be Cornelius Fudge.
Oh, he's something else.
He's such a bureaucrat.
Now I just want to know. Now okay. I feel like I have to read.
Also, the name Cornelius, fantastic. But anyway.
Yes. Decent word to find them.
All right. Well, if you do want to learn more about Harry Potter and you don't have the books yourself, then definitely join us on Mondays through the summer for our Harry Potter book club. It's going to be really awesome.
Going to be a wand waving good time.
Thank you so much.
It'll be a wand waving good time.
There will be no, what is it? Clement could help me out here. There will be no foolish.
There will be no foolish wand waving or silly incantations in this class.
Yeah!
That's awesome. No, that's good. That was worth the interruption.
Again, apologies to anybody who's actually British and is listening.
Yes.
Thank you, Keisha and Clement, for being our guests today and for your willingness to read this book to us this summer.
Oh, gift.
Yes, and absolutely.
Thanks also, Ginny, for being the co-host today. This was super fun.
Yeah, excited.
For more information about Blind Beginnings and all of our programs, check out our website, blindbeginnings.ca. And we'll see you next time.
Sorry, did we mention how to join the Harry Potter Book Club?
Well, they can go to the website.
They'll figure it out. They'll be fine.
For more information on Blind Beginnings and its mission to inspire and support children and youth who are blind or partially sighted and their families, visit www.blindbeginnings.ca.